Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. You can listen to this program again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Vipassana Meditation. That's V-I-P-A-S-S-A-N-A Meditation. Alternate weeks will be in Hindi. We will now hear an extract from a talk given by Mr. Goenka in 2002 at Southern Hall in Ottawa, Oregon.
Friends, we have all assembled here this evening to understand what is Vipassana and how does it help us in our day-to-day life and how it is relevant in today's world. Vipassana is a process, is a technique of truth realization, self-realization, realization of the truth pertaining to oneself, within oneself, by oneself, at the experiential level. The truth about misery. How misery arises. How it multiplies. And we have to suffer. Is there a way to come out of misery? And if there is a way, what the way is? How to come out of misery? For that one has to realize the truth. The deepest cause of the misery at the experiential level. Today is a very auspicious day. On this day, when Buddha, became fully enlightened, on this day he gave the first sermon, first teaching, to understand, not merely at the intellectual level, to understand at the actual level, the truth about misery, the truth about the real cause of misery, the truth about the way to come out of misery, and the truth of realization, freedom from misery. About misery. It was not necessary to reach the stage of full enlightenment to understand and say that misery starts with the birth. When you come across any sickness, illness, it is a misery. When you become old, it is a misery. When you face death, it's a misery. When you get associated with undesirables, undesirable person, undesirable incident, undesirable situations, it is a misery. When you get disassociated with desirables, desirable person, desirable incidents, desirable situation, it is a misery. You crave for something and you don't get it. It is a misery. Anybody can understand that. Even somebody with a very scattered mind can understand. But that was not the teaching of the Enlightened One at the depth. With a scattered mind, you can understand these are all miseries, miseries, miseries. But he said, the attachment that you have, you have to make your mind very one-pointed concentration, which in Pali is said, sankhitta, sankhitta chitte yena. Mind must be one-pointedly concentration, and then you realize the mind and matter, the aggregate of matter, the four aggregates of mind, these five, the combination of these two, combination of mind and matter, towards which one generates so much of identification. I, mine. An enormous attachment towards it. This is misery. This cannot be merely understood at the intellectual level, for which he gave this technique of vipassana. One has to train on one's mind to become concentrated, one-pointed concentration, with the object of truth, truth pertaining to mind and matter, nothing else. And then working on it, mind should become so much concentrated, so sharp, so sensitive, that it can realize the truth at the deepest level. Then one understands this is the real misery. The cause of misery also becomes very clear. At that point, where there is a combination of mind and matter, and where out of ignorance, one starts identifying I, mine, the body as I, mine, the four aggregates of mind as I, mine. And because of that, one develops tremendous attachment to this. And the attachment is there, the misery starts. With this combination, at the very depth of the mind, at the deepest level, at times one feels very unpleasant sensation. Because of that, one generates aversion. At times one feels very pleasant sensation. Because of that, one reacts with craving, clinging. And having reached that stage where one can feel the combination of mind and matter, the truth of the mind and matter, the subtlest truth of mind and matter, it becomes so clear that as and when I generate craving, I lose the peace of my mind. I lose the harmony of my mind. I lose the balance of my mind. I become a miserable person. Similarly, as and when I generate aversion, I lose the peace of my mind. I lose the harmony of my mind. I lose the balance of my mind. I become very miserable. Observing the first truth, what is misery? Not the misery that we see with a scattered mind. There is also a misery, nobody can deny that. But what he wants to experience the misery at the deepest level. And once you go to that deep level, it becomes so clear. The cause of misery becomes so clear. You are reacting to it with craving or with aversion. Craving and aversion are two sides of the same coin. When you are craving for some experience, you have aversion towards something opposite to it. When you have aversion towards a certain situation, you are craving towards something opposite to it. So both of them, craving and aversion, are two sides of the same coin, and both of them make us so miserable. When one comes to that stage and realizes the real truth of the origination of misery, how it originates, and how it keeps on multiplying, keeps on overpowering us, then we lose all the sense of reality, and we keep on reacting in a wrong way, harming ourselves more and more, and harming others also more and more. So a path was given, how to come out of this misery, and that is vipassana.
Next, we will play an excerpt from a question and answer session with Mr. Goenka.
The question has come. You say vipassana is so effective. Why don't you teach it to the President of Pakistan and the Prime Minister of India? then there will be peace. Certainly. Both of them are welcome. They must come. Our doors are open. All should come. And the leaders of the country, they need it much more. Everything good or bad percolates from the top and goes to the society. Now people have started from this level also. They have started taking. One minister in the central government of Delhi is a Vipassana meditator. Six or seven of them in the state governments are Vipassana meditators. One prime minister of Mongolia is a Vipassana meditator. And he is spreading Vipassana in the whole country because he has himself experienced it is so good. Time will come when all the leaders of every country will practice Vipassana to bring peace. If everything is impermanent, why take the trouble to join a 10-day course? At the intellectual level, you understand everything is impermanent. But what happens at the actual level? When something unpleasant comes, you think, oh, this is eternal. Look, this does not go away. This is eternal. And you aversion towards it. And when you got something pleasant, I got it now. This is eternal. You react to it with craving and you become miserable. To experience this truth of impermanence, pleasant or unpleasant, and to experience how I am reacting to these and making myself miserable so that you can change your habit pattern. For this purpose, you are taking a 10-day course. How could you practice Dhamma when you are still in business? Yes, business people need it. Business people need it much more. You have seen now what is happening in these corporates, big corporates. If they start feeling that I am doing something wrong, some dishonesty, and I am harming others, he will understand I am harming myself also. Out of tremendous greed, I am doing something wrong. And when one starts observing inside, greed arises, and deeper greed arises, one becomes so unhappy, so miserable. So one will do business, one will earn money, but not with the kind of attachment, detached way, so that whatever you earn, for your own livelihood, for the livelihood of those who depend on you, and also for the society, then this craving with attachment and clinging will go away, and one will be a good, better businessman. I know with my experience how miserable I was when I was dating a business firm. And after Vipassana, my business increased, my turnover increased, my industries increased, my profit increased, but the life was so peaceful, so peaceful. Previously working for about eight hours, I used to feel so fatigued. But now, after that, I work 10 hours, 12 hours, still so fresh. Capacity to work increases, and that is why a large number of business executives in India are coming to courses, and here in the West also, a number of them have started coming to courses. Will your technique help alcoholism? Certainly. This was a wonderful discovery of this enlightened person when he said, you are not reacting to any outside object. This was something new for the whole humanity. There were teachings, you are reacting to outside object. That means you are getting addicted to alcohol, which is an outside object. Buddha says, no. When you take alcohol, there is a particular sensation in your body. And deep in your mind, you like that sensation. And start craving for that sensation. Again, you want that sensation, you take more alcohol. Again, you want sensation, you take more alcohol. By this technique, you start observing the sensation. Look, arising, passing, anicca, anicca, impermanent. Your attachment goes away. Attachment to the sensation goes away. Attachment to alcohol goes away. Attachment to drug goes away. Attachment to any intoxicant easily goes away. Just one or two courses I have seen, thousands of people who are alcoholics who want to come out of it have easily come out of it. How do you practice this with your wife? Yes, very happily. The the unity of wife and husband becomes stronger. Both good meditators generate full of love, compassion, goodwill. They live a happy life, harmonious life, good for themselves and good for the children and good for all the relatives. Did you realize Nirvana? If yes, what is the state of that of Nirvana, of that mind? You practice and experience yourself. Then you know what is Nirvana. There is no description. How can there be a description of something which is beyond mind and matter, beyond entire sensorium? When one experiences that stage, which is beyond mind and matter, all sense stop working and you experience that. Maybe for a few seconds, few minutes, few hours, when you come back in the sensorium in the world, you are a changed person altogether. But your experience was beyond sensorium. How can you explain with what words you can explain and with what words people can understand? So take course. No, please write. Never do that. Never do that. This is totally prohibited. This is not an arguing, not a debating class. So whenever you experience that, you will become dumb. You can't explain it. Only your behavior will show that you are a changed person. And that can be experienced by everyone. Everyone who comes out of this impurity, comes to a stage where mind has become ultra pure, has to experience something beyond mind and matter. And that is eternal. The entire field of mind and matter is arising, passing. And one keeps oneself free from craving, aversion. One purifies the mind, keeps on purifying the mind, reaches the stage. That is eternal. Nothing arises, nothing passes away. No explanation, no words can explain it, but it can be experienced by anyone and everyone. Is it possible to develop a passion or a craving towards the subtle vibrations? This is what is taught. When people start practicing this, initially they get very unpleasant, gross sensations, and they train their mind. Well, they are impermanent, they will pass away, just observe. And suddenly they start feeling a flow of very pleasant sensation, very subtle vibration throughout the body. Then the danger comes. You start craving and clinging for that. And the teacher will say, this is the danger. When you start craving for something pleasant, then you have aversion towards something unpleasant. Understand, this is also impermanent. Many a times we find a student comes, oh, Goenka ji, I reach the final stage. I get such wonderful vibrations throughout the body. This is Ananda, Paramananda, etc. I said, no, still you are in the field of mind and matter. By evening, this person comes, I have lost my meditation. It was so good this morning. And now look, with a very long face, sad face, he says, I have lost that. That's why I say, when you experience pleasant sensation, don't take it eternal. It's bound to pass away sooner or later, and then you will become miserable if you have attachment towards it. So the whole technique is to come out of attachment. For students who took a course many years ago, but stopped practicing, what would you recommend? Come back, take another 10-day course, start working. There's no magic or miracle. No gurudom. The guru doesn't say, I will liberate you. Come, give me so many dollars, I will liberate you. Not that. You have to work out your own salvation. Somebody can show you the path. That's all. Can you practice vipassana when taking antidepressant meditation? When you come to a course, discuss with your psychiatrist, discuss with the teacher in what depth depression is gone. But my experience with so many people with deep depression, easily they come out of it. The technique is so simple. As I said, nothing can arise in the mind without a sensation on the body. If depression has arisen in the mind, a good vipassana meditator, just accept the fact, at this moment there is depression in my mind. Depression not related to this or that. Depression as depression. And what sensation I have? Any sensation you have in the body at that time is related to the depression. You start observing the sensation, arising, passing, not eternal. Depression is also related to this, so not eternal. Let me see how long it lasts. It cannot overpower you. It becomes weaker and passes away. Like this, any impurity that's come in the mind, accept that there is an impurity in the mind, and what sensation I have. Keep on observing. That is how people come out of their misery of these defilements. Are there female teachers of Vipassana? Certainly. What difference between male and female? Human being is human being. Human mind is human mind. We have Vipassana female teachers. And I carry one teacher with me. So there is no bar. All students can participate, male or female. And they are teachers, males, females. People from every religion can participate, and they are participating. And they are teachers from every religion. There are Christian priest teachers, nun teachers. There are Muslim teachers. There are Sikh teachers. There are Hindu teachers. There are both. No, makes no difference. Human being is human being. They realize the fact. And they know this is an exercise, mental exercise. As you do asana and pranayama, not necessary to convert yourself to any religion. This is a physical exercise to keep the body healthy. So India found out this wonderful mental exercise which keeps the mind healthy. Anybody can practice and everybody can practice, and they are practicing, and they are teachers from every religion.
Vipassana, which means to see things as they really are, is one of India's most ancient techniques of meditation. It was taught in India about 2,500 years ago as a universal remedy for universal ills. Vipassana meditation is a simple, practical technique which enables one to lead a more positive, balanced and happy life. It focuses on the deep interconnection between mind and body, which can be experienced directly by disciplined attention to the physical sensations that form the life of the body and that continuously interconnect with and condition the life of the mind. Although Vipassana was practiced and taught by the Buddha, it contains nothing of a sectarian or religious nature. The technique of Vipassana meditation is taught at 10-day residential courses during which participants learn the basics of the method and practice sufficiently to experience its beneficial results. More than 100 meditation centers have been established around the world, including in Asia, the Middle East, Europe, North America, and Australasia. New Zealand has had a center since 1987. This program is brought to you by the Vipassana Meditation Center, which offers courses in Vipassana meditation as taught by S.N. Goenka in the tradition of Sayaji Ubaken. The New Zealand center is located at 153 Burnside Road, Makarau, Kaukopakopa, approximately 1 hour drive north of Auckland. The website is www.medini.dharma.org. That is www.medini.dharma.org. The phone number is 09-420-5319. That's 09-420-5319. There are several centres in Australia. For more information, contact Dharma Bhumi at 212 Station Street, Blackheath, New South Wales. The telephone number is 02-4787-3600, and the website is www.bhumi.dharma.org. That's www.bhumi.dharma.org.